Well, we're continuing our series today. We're calling Man of Miracles, and I want to encourage you. Maybe this is your first time here at Oak Hills. You might want to go back and watch if you haven't had a chance to see some of those messages. I would encourage you to go back, not because you need to hear those for today to make any sense, but there's just a common theme that I'm beginning to notice with all of these miracles. Regardless of the miracle, one of the common threads that runs through them all is that Jesus notices hurting people. In every case, every miracle, there is someone who is hurting, there is someone who is desperate, someone who's saying, I don't know how this is going to happen. This doesn't look good. Someone who's desperate, somebody who is in need. And you know, Jesus, he didn't do these miracles just to impress. He did these miracles to express God's love for a lost and hurting world. He just had an eye for people who were hurting. And if that's you today, and you're here, and your heart is broken, you're hurting, maybe it's a physical pain, maybe it's a spiritual pain, you are in the right place. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he sees you. And we're going to see that in today's text. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn to John chapter 9. This entire chapter is focused on one miracle. And John writes all of this down. He records all of this. It is the story of a man who's been blind from birth. And it is the story of what happens when darkness is confronted by the light of the world. And John begins to write in chapter 9, verse 1. He says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I want to just stop right there because I think this is really important. In that day and time, this was something that the teachers would teach. This is something that obviously even the disciples who've been walking with Jesus believe. They see a man who's been blind from birth, and the obvious question is, which one? Who sinned? Was it him or was it the parents? Somebody, in their mind, somebody sinned. In that day and time, if somebody had a disability like that, they just assumed there was blame somewhere, somehow. I want you to know that Jesus shuts this down immediately. Jesus goes on to say, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. They were so quick to assign blame. Well, this has got to be about sin. This has got to be about blame. This has got to be about punishment, right? Surely somebody's getting punished. Jesus says, this isn't about punishment. This is about purpose. And for some of us, maybe you're in a season where you are experiencing some type of pain and suffering, some kind of darkness. And if you're anything like me, sometimes I'm quick to say, God, why me? Why are you punishing me? Why are you letting this happen to me? But many times our darkness, our pain, and our suffering, it's not about punishment. It's about purpose. It's something else that we see. On the other side of all of these miracles, there is a purpose. Remember, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it for good. And that's certainly what we see here in this story. Jesus notices this hurting man, and this is what he does. He spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Okay, time out. We need to back up. If you've never heard this story before, if you're, you know, in that place where you're becoming familiar with the Bible, the whole thing about spit and mud, we kind of have to go back to that, right? Like, what is that? What is going on there? And John, the thing about it, if you're reading the Gospel of Mark, he's going to give you all the nitty-gritty details. But John just kind of, you know, I mean, we gotta go back. And so the man went and washed and he came home seeing. Okay, John, we need some details here, but he doesn't give us the details. He only gives us the result. He lets us know that Jesus sees this man. And I gotta tell you, if I had been the blind man, the spit and the mud, that would have been a step of faith for me. You're gonna do what? Let's just be honest. But that's not even the half of it. Jesus puts the mud on this man's eyes, and then he tells him to go to the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam is, give or take, probably about a quarter of a mile from where the man is at. Well, that's a long walk for a blind man with mud in his eyes. What's that all about? But he does it. He makes the walk. It's actually downhill to the pool of Siloam. I've stood on these steps. This is a real place, and this is a real man with real faith. The pool of Siloam. It was actually rediscovered in 2004. There was a pipe that burst down at the bottom of the hill, and they started digging around to try to fix it, and they found these stones that looked interestingly a lot like the temple stones. They stopped digging. They called in the archaeologist. Sure enough, it was the pool of Siloam. But can you imagine this man? Feeling his way, he makes his way down to that pool, and he places his hand on one of those stones that he had never seen. And he places his leg into that water that he had never seen. And he washes and he comes up and he sees. And the first thing that he sees is, it's not Jesus. The first thing that he sees is a world that has been passing him by his entire life. He sees. Well, now he's got a journey to go back home. And as he's walking back to wherever home is, people start to notice, hey, isn't that the guy? I mean, isn't that the blind man? He's been blind since birth, okay? He's been a beggar. People have seen him on a daily basis. Is that the guy who was begging us? No, couldn't be. Could it? No. People started saying, that can't be him. That guy just looks like him. The text actually tells us that. People were saying, no, it just looks like him. There was nothing in their construct, their mental construct that could allow for this, because it didn't make any earthly sense. It didn't make any natural sense. This would have to be something supernatural. But there he is. He's walking and he's talking and he's seeing, and people are starting to notice and ask questions. So, what happened? I don't know. I mean, who did this? I don't know. Is that man they called Jesus? Now, you'll notice where he starts. In verse 11, he says, he's the man they called Jesus. Jesus has just given this man sight, yet he's still keeping Jesus at a distance. Here's one of the things that we see in this text today. Jesus opens eyes physically and spiritually. Yes, this miracle begins as a physical healing, but Jesus is not only giving him physical eyesight, he's giving him spiritual insight. Did you notice how he began? Verse 11, it's the man that they call Jesus. But by verse 18, He's a prophet. The people keep asking him, who did this? How did this happen? I don't know. He's a prophet. And then by verse 38, what do we find? We find that he says, Lord, I believe. He is falling down and he is worshiping him. You see, that is the journey of faith. Faith doesn't always come to us in one big moment. Sometimes it comes gradually. And just like this man who began to see, the more that we see Jesus for who he is, then the clearer everything gets. He begins to tell his story because everyone wants to know. And his sight, his spiritual sight, is beginning to come into focus. Here's what happens. Second thing that we see, worship leads to revelation. The man continues to tell his story. And every time he tells his story, he begins to see more clearly. Some of you are here today going, I just don't have that kind of faith. I'm just gonna struggle. And listen, if you struggle with doubts, then maybe your first move is not to get all of your questions answered. Maybe your first move is to tell your story. That's all this man does. He tells what happened to him. People are coming to him. Now the Pharisees are coming to him because they're upset. They're upset because he did this on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, they were so concerned about keeping the law, which that's not a bad thing. That's honoring to God. But they would build a fence around the law because they didn't want anybody, they wanted laws around the laws because they didn't want anybody getting close to breaking the law. And so they would say things, some scholars say that they would say things like, on the Sabbath, a man cannot even spit on the ground. What was Jesus' first move? He knows what he's doing. But they're not happy, and they want to know, who is this man? They're seeking Jesus out. At one point, the man who was blind says, oh, are you so concerned about Jesus because you want to follow him too? This guy is pretty quick-witted. We're not going to be able to cover all of John chapter 9. You've got to read this week. Read through it. There's some funny stuff in here. But Jesus knows what he's doing. And the people are asking him, how did it happen? Who did it? I don't know. Wait a second. There is one thing I know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. That was his explanation. Why? Because that's all he had to offer. We can have all the theological and the doctrinal debates, but you cannot debate someone's experience. Sometimes we complicate sharing our faith. We say, well, I can't share my faith. I don't know enough. I haven't done enough. Well, I can't explain this or I can't explain that. The man who was blind, what did he know? Hardly anything at the beginning, except I was blind and now I see. He shared what he knew. He started with where he was. He worshiped with what he knew. I was blind. But now I see. I don't know about you, but I would think that somebody would want to be throwing this man a party, not grilling him like he's on the witness stand. Or if you're not going to throw him a party, go find Jesus. Throw him a party. He's the one who did it. But there are no parties. In fact, as the man began to share his faith, people didn't applaud and cheer. They actually pushed him away. Because sometimes we're afraid of the things that we don't understand. The things that we can't understand, the things that we can't control, we become fearful of them, and the people, I think, became fearful of him and shut the door. Society began to shut the door on him and his family, even the religious community around him. Have you ever wanted to share something in your life, but you're afraid to because you're afraid that you might even lose your religious community? Jesus finds out what's happened. What do you think Jesus did? He made a beeline for this man. He found him. He sought him out, and he found him because he wanted to ask him one question, the most important question that will ever be asked of any of us who walk this earth. Jesus, from his very own lips, asked the man this: do you believe in the Son of Man? Listen to the honesty here. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Can you imagine this moment? Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And in that moment, he had not only received physical eyesight, but spiritual insight. No, more than that, he received salvation. Sometimes we refer to this moment when someone says, I get it, I believe. In that moment of belief, we call that justification, because in that moment, Jesus forgives sin. He forgives sin as only he can do. You are justified in the sight of God. You are made right with him. And that's what happens in this moment. As soon as he says, I believe, by the blood of Jesus, he is made clean. But it doesn't stop there. Another term that we sometimes use in addition to justification is the term sanctification. Sanctification is what comes after being justified. It's the process. It's following Jesus moment by moment. It's coming together and gathering like we have today. Whether you came with a heart full of gratitude or just a broken heart, we come into this place and we strengthen one another. We gather and we worship where we are because Jesus said, come as you are. And it strengthens us. And it changes us, it sanctifies us. But beyond that, we find communities, we find people that we can be with that will tell us the truth. Listen, I gotta ask you, do you have people in your life that will tell you the truth about you? And more than that, do you have people in your life that you can tell the truth about you? And know that you'll be fully known, like the good, the bad, the ugly, and fully loved? Do you have that kind of community? Because that is the kind of community that sanctifies us as we grow. And then it doesn't stop there, because then we're gonna grow, but we're gonna go serve. We're gonna go share the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play all over the city, wherever you may be watching from around the globe today. The hope of Jesus. Because that's what happens. Martin Luther, he said this quote. He said, sanctification is simply taking justification seriously. In other words, a life that is made right with God, a life that has been forgiven, is a life that will never be the same. Changed forever. Because here's the third truth. When Jesus changes us, others will notice. We've said this here before, but you may be the first or the only Bible that some people ever read. They may come to know Jesus because they first came to see him in you. That overflow of the Spirit. You see, when a life is transformed by Jesus, people start to notice. It was hard to miss the man who was blind, who's now walking around talking, and he's seeing. It's hard to dismiss what had happened. But some people would. Here's how Jesus closes, or here's how John closes out this chapter with the words of Jesus. For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. That doesn't make any sense, does it? These are sobering and heavy words from Jesus. Jesus is saying, there are some of you who you think you see, but you're actually growing more blind every day. And then there are some people who are blind that are going to be given sight day by day, moment by moment. So here's the question. Are you moving towards Jesus? Because pride will build that wall, and pride keeps us from admitting our need. Humility brings that wall down and puts us in position to be able to admit our need. Humility allows us to see more and more and more and more, and pride blinds the eyes. So here's the question. Here's the challenge. Are you willing to admit where you need his light? He has already told us. He said, I am the light of the world. So let me ask you the question. Are you in a place where you can admit where you need that light? Can you admit to him, Father, here are the places where I have settled for the shadows, and that's no longer good enough. I want the light of the world. Are you willing to admit that need? Because that's where it starts. Thank you. Because the truth is, God's goodness is everywhere. Heaven is closer than you think. Jesus is closer than you think. But we've got to have eyes to see it. We've been writing some songs. And our prayer beginning was, God, help us write songs that are happening right here. We just want to reflect back to the body, back to the world, all of your goodness that we're seeing right here in this expression of the local church.
He is. He's given us the songs.
So some of these songs, we wrote them in faith, and now months later, we're seeing him do exactly what are in
this
the lyrics.
One, well, this one in particular is 2 years old that the idea started. And then as we've gotten closer, it's just the Lord has been lining it up. Like, we could not have planned this. It had to have been the Lord planning it at the right time.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah. And you know, the thing I realized even today as I was getting ready for this message and thinking about the song, there is a progression in the bridge that says, do you hear it? Do you feel it? Do you see it? I believe it. And that exact progression is the one that we see in John chapter 9 with this man. And when we started writing, we said, more than anything, these songs, they have to be 100% biblically accurate, 100% true. And I feel like God is, he's given that.
Above and beyond, one can even ask or imagine.
It's been so good. Well, our prayer is that these songs will help us take our time in the Word of God, something that sometimes we can understand with our head, but we want to make sure that we understand them in our heart. And music has a way of doing that. So we want to share this song, which is really the heartbeat of our church right now. I'm going to share this with you.
All creation waits in anticipation for a time to come when all is new again. But until that day, we pray in expectation, your kingdom come. Here on earth we pray, your will be done. You are restoring the broken, eyes are beginning to open, heaven is closing in, I see it all around. You're bringing giants to their knees, you're setting captives free. Heaven is closing in, I see it all around.
By your Spirit now, we see a glimpse of glory, a foretaste of the fullness still to come. We see miracles and prodigals returning. Your kingdom come, here on earth we pray, your will be done. Oh, you are restoring the broken, eyes are beginning to open, heaven is closing in, I see it all around. You're bringing giants to their knees, you're setting captives free.
Come on, if you believe it, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't think God gets enough standing ovations. He's so good. Is there anything that is impossible for him? Anything? Well, maybe there's that, no? Well, no? Has he not shown us his power and shown us his glory? We have seen what he can do. And what he's done, he can do it again. He can do it again. I want to invite you for just a moment, be seated, because there is one more moment. I told you about it earlier, and it is the most important moment of the entire morning, and it is to ask the question that Jesus asked the blind man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he came to a point where he said, Lord, I believe. So we want to give everyone here in this house that opportunity to say yes, to surrender your heart to Jesus. We're going to pray together. And then if that's you, and today is your day, and you're praying that prayer for the first time, or the first time in a long time, we want to give you the opportunity to stand, and we want to cheer you on, because you are making a decision that will not only change this life, it's changing everything throughout eternity. We don't know how many of these opportunities that we get, but isn't God so good to just give us this moment? So I'm praying for courage. For anybody who this is your day, I'm praying that you would have courage. Let's pray together. Repeat after me if you will. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray.